Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to The Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Monday, March 1st, 2021. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Donald Trump spoke at CPAC over the weekend, and there's two important dynamics to watch for what this means for the Republican Party. Number two, COVID relief moves to the Senate. And number three, House Democrats are going to push an aggressive agenda this month. We've got the latest. All right, Jake, Trump spoke yesterday at CPAC. Everybody was covering it wall to wall. His first kind of big statement speech post-impeachment. Top takeaway.
You know, I guess my takeaway is this, and we write this morning in Punchbowl News, but my takeaway is if Donald Trump is serious about challenging Republican candidates, there's a whole bunch of questions that it raises for me. And for me, it would raise the following questions. Number one, is he going to have sustained interest here? I mean, the most of these primaries that he's talking about are more than a year away. Is he going to spend the next 12 months, 16 months finding candidates, raising money, clearing the field? I mean, is that what he's going to be doing? I doubt that. A lot of people in his inner circle doubt that as well. Number two, for the Republican infrastructure, I mean, is there going to be punishment for campaign consultants and outside vendors for supporting candidates that Trump doesn't like? I mean, that's a big question that I have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both of those things are critical when you think about it, because just because Donald Trump, you know, goes and gives a speech and rails on some of these members who voted against him, you know, whether that's Mitt Romney, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, these senators that aren't up for election for years. We're not even talking about, you know, in the midterm here. We're talking 2024. We're talking, you know, 6 years from now. It's hard for me to see him have a real, to your point, kind of that he's going to be blocking and tackling every day.
Sustained interest, right?
Everything that he wants, right? And I think the other real question is what do some of the Republicans, though, like a Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, Trump ally, has kind of bear hugged him post impeachment, even really during impeachment. How does that work when, you know, you're going to have potentially Donald Trump go after or certainly campaign against a Tom Rice or a Liz Cheney or a David Valadao? Some of these seats, they've spent millions of dollars to get a Republican in those actual chairs.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I also just wonder if there's a bunch of candidates in these races does the candidate with the name ID, the highest name ID, just win, right? I mean, isn't that what we're kind of trying to say here? I mean, if there's just a bunch of candidates in this race and Trump can't clear the field, does a Liz Cheney just win because she has the highest name ID? And I think that's a real risk for people. And I'm not sure, Anna, if there's anybody in Trump's orbit who's thinking along these lines. He has a very skeleton crew. I'm not saying he doesn't have the capacity to do this. He probably does if he wanted to. Any of us probably do. But it takes purposeful effort. And I just don't know that Trump either realizes that or because most things have come easy to him, right? I mean, he won the presidency in 2016 and didn't even think he was going to, then lost the House and then the Senate. So he's won one election. I get it. It was a big deal, but I just don't know that he has the people around him that could do this.
All right, number two, COVID relief moves to the Senate. It is quickly coming down to the deadline for Joe Biden and his administration. They have been pushing for COVID relief to be done by March 13th when unemployment insurance expires. There's been a lot of drama back and forth. Finally, the House passed it on Friday night late. This minimum wage issue is dead at this point, right? That was going to be the big fight. The progressives were pushing this $15 minimum wage, or maybe there'll be a compromise or a tax on companies, and that's over.
Yeah, that's right. So we don't have the $15 minimum wage, as you said, got knocked out of the bill. Now we don't have this idea, like you just indicated, this tax on companies that don't pay their workers $15. That was dropped yesterday by Bernie Sanders and Ron Wyden, as first reported by Jeff Stein in The Washington Post. We have subsequently confirmed that. So in reality, I mean, living on planet Earth, Democrats say they're going to do everything they can to push a $15 minimum wage, and I'm going to do everything I can to fly to the Capitol today. Neither of those things are going to happen because the $15 minimum wage cannot get, it doesn't look like it can get through on a 60 vote threshold unless they lower it to below $15 and get a bunch of Republican support. They're not going to get anything resembling it in this bill, this COVID relief bill, which has become a, you know, obviously a must pass bill.
But it's going to be a really partisan thing, right? I mean, what you're talking about there, there's not going to be, Republicans are going to do everything in their power to drag this out, to make this as painful for Senate Democrats as possible. It's one of the clear dynamics to watch that in this kind of time of Joe Biden calling for unity, you're not going to see Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell do anything to try to help Democrats through this process. I think the other person to really watch is Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader. He is going to be having a big week. And yes, we keep saying that, but it's actually true. He's 50-50 majority with Kamala Harris as the tiebreaker. He needs to keep everyone together.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, just a quick note back on the minimum wage. I'm not saying that there aren't Republicans that aren't going to support an $11 minimum wage or something that's not $15. Can McConnell, as you just noted, bring it back to what you just said? Can he hold people against that? I don't know the answer to that, and that we'll have to see.
All right, number three, House Democrats are going to push an aggressive agenda this month, and we have the latest. I mean, it is basically Christmas for Democrats in the House.
Yeah, that's right. We're moving on here, as Bill Belichick said, on to Cincinnati. Nancy Pelosi is on to Cincinnati with this agenda. They are moving a big agenda, most notably H.R. 1, the election package that Democrats have been pushing for several years. Election integrity, tightening up election security, a whole bunch of things. Nonpartisan redistricting is going to hit the floor this week on Wednesday. It's had some trouble. But it's a big bill. It's a big win for Democrats to have it back on the floor for John Sarbanes, the Maryland Democrat that is has written the bill. Anyway, very, very big week. A policing bill, all sorts of legislation that's not COVID, because next week they're going to have to take up the COVID bill again. So they're just trying to get some stuff done, get some priorities checked off during this week that they have no pressing business.
Yeah, I think the other just two points that I would make is this big kind of business versus labor issue. We're going to see that start to play out with the PRO Act, which is protecting the right to organize, something to watch that I think you're going to see bubble up labor versus business in a big way in the coming weeks and months. And the second thing I would just point out, they could also try to bring up the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act. This is being pushed by Jackie Speier, the Democrat from California, to extend the deadline. So that's something to watch for sure. Thanks so much for listening. Hit that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review. You can also subscribe to Punchbowl News at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.